It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Oh yeah, baby.
You know, Mitch.
He loved the Cougars.
Mitch Harper.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast. Good afternoon to all of you. It's a Wednesday edition. One day closer to the start of the 2022 BYU football season. It's just around the corner. Cannot wait. Talking a lot of BYU football today on this off-season edition of the podcast. School's starting to wind down for a lot of kids. I know I've been attending a bunch of graduations, so you know summer is on the horizon, which means it's only a matter of time before college football and the BYU football season is upon us. And to talk some BYU football and get you ready for the upcoming season, I'm going to be giving you my game-by-game predictions on this edition of Cougar Tracks. Score predictions, game-by-game, breaking it all down here on the show. You can follow me on Twitter, at @Mitch_Harper. Also, KSL Sports on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We're available everywhere. And you can watch this podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at high noon on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. If you listen in the audio format, thank you as always for checking out the show. Subscribe, leave a rating, and a review. So we'll get the game-by-game breakdown. But first, I want to start things off with the game day t-shirt, which has become an annual tradition for Cougar football fans. And BYU released its 2022 game day shirt. Every year, this has been a tradition since 2007. It's the budget-friendly shirt that fans can buy that it's called the game day shirt. This year's, I think, is pretty cool. It highlights the final tour of independence. That's what it says on the front. The final tour, football, BYU Cougars, 2011 to 2022, the final independent season. 2022 Independence Farewell Tour is what it says on the back. Has the entire schedule. Has Lavelle Edwards Stadium outline on it. I got to say, this is the best game day shirt BYU has ever dropped. It's the best one. I used to think it was the 2016 repping the Y, the first year under Kalani Sitake and Ty Detmer. This one's better, though. It's got the schedule on the back. First time that's happened since 2008 when it was the Quest for Perfection shirt. Remember, I did a definitive ranking on these shirts last year. I think this one's pretty good. Now, keep in mind, as is the case with everything in the world today, inflation has hit even the game day shirt. It's gone up from $10.99 to now $12.99. It's at the BYU store and available in youth and adult sizes. Only one color this year, only royal blue. The last few years they've had royal blue, navy, white, only royal blue this year. But I got to say, I think it's the best one yet. It's the best game day t-shirt BYU has put out. I like it. I think it's a good design. I think it looks good, and I think it just, you know, pays tribute to independence. It's been a unique era. Independence has been a tough, challenging time for BYU, but They enter 2022 looking to end the independence era on a high note, and I think they've got the chance to do that with so much returning production, as I discussed earlier in the week, and the star power that they have at key positions. This is a team that could make a lot of noise this year and win a lot of ball games. So let's dive in. The 2022 BYU football schedule, game by game, my score predictions about 100 days out till kick. Here's where I think it stands, game by game, for the Cougars, how it's going to look this fall. If I had to make predictions, this is how I see it going down for BYU in 2022. Starting off, South Florida in Tampa. I think BYU wins this game. I think the final score is going to be BYU 31, USF 23. BYU's a 12-point favorite in this game. I don't think they will cover. You got to keep in mind that Aaron Roderick teams, they're okay with winning a game, you know, 24-17 if they need to. Aaron Roderick's not the type that needs to be fulfilled by putting up these massive offensive numbers. I think BYU will have big offensive games this season, but week ones are always dicey. It's just tough to hit the ground running. That 2022 opener was a rare exception where Navy wasn't tackling for an entire month and COVID and all the uncertainty around that. BYU just handled Navy to likes of which I don't think anyone expected. And I think everyone was just floored by that performance of how good BYU was in an opener. But there's USF's going to tackle, and USF's a pretty good football team. Better than what they've been. The last few years, they've been horrendous in terms of record. But I think Jeff Scott's building a nice program there at USF. They got Gary Bohannon coming in at quarterback. The backup I would expect is going to be Timmy McClain, who gave BYU a lot of issues last season. They've got a bunch of transfers coming in on the defensive side. Last year they were 123rd nationally in total defense. They've got transfers coming in from Minnesota, Missouri, Clemson, K-State, Wake Forest, North Carolina, and Temple. A lot of Power 5 talent joining that defensive group. And they got a pretty good running back, too, in Jaron Maugham, an all-AAC performer as an honorable mention season ago. But I think BYU wins. It's kind of like the Arizona game last year where you don't feel like it's in doubt, but the final score looks closer than what you would think how the game played out. Maybe also like the South Florida game last year. I don't think BYU jumps out to a 21-0 lead, but I think BYU wins by 8 points, 31-23. Week two, Baylor. I also think BYU wins this game. This is the game of the year, I think, for a lot of BYU players. Getting revenge on Baylor, how Baylor basically embarrassed BYU physically. I think BYU responds, and they take down the Bears 23-20. That's my score prediction. Baylor's going to have a nasty defense. I think they're going to be better than last year's defense, and they were really good a season ago. Siaki Ika returns. They lose Petrie to the NFL, but they got a talented grad transfer, and Jackson Player is going to probably back up Siaki Ika from Tulsa. Young at safety for Baylor. They got some sophomores and some freshmen in that back end of the defense. At quarterback, Bohannon's gone, but Blake Shapen takes over as the starting QB, and they really like Shapen, what he can do in the passing game. He's also a pretty good runner, too. I don't know if he's as athletic as Bohannon, but I think he's a good runner, too. Shapen saw some time last year in that Big 12 championship game. He's a good football player, and the injury to Bohannon at times last year created this opening to where Shapen had a chance to win the job, and he took it in spring. And now he's their number one guy for Baylor. But I think BYU comes away with a victory and jumps out to a 2-0 start. BYU 23, Baylor 20. BYU makes a trip in week three to Oregon. First time since 1990 when Ty Detmer won the Heisman Trophy, BYU rolls into Oregon. Maybe similar circumstances to how I'm playing it out right now. 2-0 BYU, nationally ranked. Sounds kind of familiar to that last visit in 1990.
This is an interesting game. I think that BYU and Oregon, why these teams haven't played more is beyond me. The last time they met was in 2006, and BYU just annihilated them in the Vegas Bowl. Remember, that was with Bilotti, and he's calling out BYU, and Gary Crowan's the OC for the Ducks. They had that Fremont Street brawl. BYU just lit up Oregon 38-8. It was just that 2006 BYU team by season's end could have beat anyone. Will BYU beat this Oregon team in 2022? I'm going to say the Ducks get the win here. I don't feel confident about it. I think BYU should win this game. But Oregon's got the heralded high-profile recruits. You look at programs out west, you got USC who's on the come up with their recruiting because Clay Helton ran that thing into the ground. Ran it into the ground. Lincoln Riley's going to get elite talent back into California. And he's already doing that with the transfer portal. Oregon, though, they were the team while USC was just down bad. While they were down, Oregon was the one cleaning up on the West Coast. They've got elite talent. Quarterback situation, probably going to be Bo Nix from Auburn. He seemed to be the guy that pulled away in spring, but also Ty Thompson, I think, is an option too. That's where the questions, I think, lie for Oregon. Quarterback's an issue. I don't think Bo Nix is that good, but I think he might be good enough for one day against BYU and BYU's defense. They're going to have some game where it breaks. I think Oregon wins 34-28 over BYU. BYU's getting a get big payday playing that game over $1.2 million. A one-off game. I'm surprised BYU did a one-off with Oregon, by the way. Like, Oregon's a good program, but are they one-off, historic good? The payday's nice, though.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Wyoming in week four. BYU rolls. 44-24, Powder River Letterbuck. First regular season game against Wyoming since 2010. First meeting since that bowl game in 2016, Kalani Sitake's first year in the Poinsettia Bowl. Craig Bohl's a good coach. He's going to coach up this Wyoming roster, and they'll be better than maybe what their on-paper roster would suggest. But they got just annihilated in the transfer portal. Lost 15 guys. Isaiah Naylor went to Texas. Levi Williams, the quarterback, goes to Utah State. Which I don't understand that move at all. The guy's a Potato Bowl MVP, looks amazing, and then he bolts for his girlfriend, supposedly. I don't know. Wyoming is not going to win this game. BYU will have a massive offensive outpouring on the Pokes, 44-24. Utah State on a Thursday night the following week. I think BYU wins this one, too, 42-30 over the Aggies. Now, Utah State, credit Blake Anderson, the defending Mountain West champs. They've got a wealth of talent at quarterback, by the way. Logan Bonner, the former Arkansas State quarterback, he's back once again. Cooper Legault from Orem, he led them in the L.A. Bowl against Oregon State. And then the aforementioned Levi Williams from Wyoming. They've got a good quarterback room, maybe the best in the state as a whole. I mean, the individual part at BYU for Jaren Hall, I think he's the top quarterback in the state, in my opinion, and then Cam Rising right behind Jaren. But as a whole, Utah State's got three starting quarterbacks in their room. I don't think any other program in the state has that luxury. Utah State added some notable defensive transfers too. MJ Tafisi, an in-state kid who BYU once recruited, he transferred from Washington, going to be probably a starting linebacker for Utah State, and then Anthony Switzer from Arkansas State. He's going to play kind of a hybrid role for the Aggies, a really good back-end player of that defense. Those are going to be some impact players, I think, for the Aggs this year. But I think BYU rolls over Utah State to the tune of 42-30. And then it sets the stage for BYU versus Notre Dame in Las Vegas. It's a massive game. Now, it's not going to get any attention because Alabama and Texas A&M is going to be played the same day. So, honestly, move this game to a late night or maybe 1:30 kick, because if it's going up against Alabama, Texas A&M in primetime, you're not going to get any viewers. BYU and Irish fans, they will watch. And this is going to be a hot ticket for the two fan bases. I think Notre Dame wins. First year, Marcus Freeman. He takes over for Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly was a lot like Bronco Mendenhall for Notre Dame. Like, Brian Kelly, higher level. He's an elite coach. I don't know why people are knocking him about LSU, saying, like, he better win right away or else he's going to be on the hot seat. It's like, you're talking about one of the five best coaches in college football, and LSU pried him away from a historic blue blood type of brand. Brian Kelly's he's a winner anywhere. Guy's won everywhere he's gone. Freeman, though, is it as foregone of a conclusion that he will always just take care of business? I compare Brian Kelly to Mendenhall because during Mendenhall's time at BYU, there was always 7 or 8 games where it's like, okay, chalk it up, that's a win. Brian Kelly was the same way at Notre Dame. Usually, Notre Dame was always that team that would lose some game they shouldn't. When I was growing up, you know, they'd have Bob Davey, Ty Willingham, Charlie Weiss. They always lost these games that they shouldn't. And Brian Kelly got rid of that stigma. I mean, Notre Dame is just a consistent knocking on the door of the playoff type of team every year. I think their recruiting is going to go high to a higher level with Freeman, but it's not maybe as foregone of a conclusion as they take care of business. You already saw that last year in the bowl game against Oklahoma State, blew a huge lead. Brian Kelly team would have probably finished the job. But I think Notre Dame wins this game. I think Notre Dame 30, BYU 20. Notre Dame's probably got the best defense BYU will face. Baylor, it's either Baylor or Notre Dame. But Isaiah Foskey, defensive lineman, he comes back. That's a huge boost to the Irish. They also get Jason Adamatalioa. I'm sorry, I'm saying that incorrectly. Good defensive line, though, for Notre Dame. BYU's got a great O-line, so it should be an excellent matchup. But I think Notre Dame, too much for BYU. I think they win 30-20. Their quarterback situation is kind of interesting. Tyler Buckner is expected to be the starter, but he didn't play in the spring game. Got held out due to an injury. We'll see what happens there as he replaces Jack Cohn, the former Wisconsin transfer. Arkansas in Provo. This is a good game. Sam Pittman and the Razorbacks play BYU for the first time ever in the school's histories. Arkansas brings back one of the better quarterbacks BYU will face this year in KJ Jefferson. The Razorbacks also have 4 returning starters along the offensive line. I think that's the reason for some optimism that maybe they can follow up their 9-win campaign with another successful year. But Arkansas is the type of program where, yeah, you can have that 1 year. This happened a lot of times under Brett Bielema, where it's like you seem like they're knocking on the door of breaking through and getting into that upper tier of the SEC West. They also could be a team that just takes a massive step back now that they've got the target on them. I think, though, Arkansas is going to be a solid football team. I think they're going to be probably another 7-8-win season. I think one of those 8 wins will probably be against BYU. I'm saying Arkansas 26, BYU 17. It's one of those weird midseason games. There's always some lull for BYU midseason. Kind of hot and heavy at the beginning of the year. Then there's kind of this midseason lull. Maybe a game or two losing streak, similar to last year. I think that happens here. Arkansas gets the win. Then BYU goes on the road at Liberty. BYU wins this one, 41-27. Liberty's got to replace Malik Willis at quarterback. It looks like maybe Charlie Brewer's going to be that guy. Yes, the same Charlie Brewer that BYU beat, who was at Utah last season. He probably gets the start, I would imagine. And BYU wins that game 41-27. East Carolina in Provo on a Friday night. BYU's going to get revenge. That was one of the worst losses in BYU football history. I'm convinced of that. 2017 East Carolina. East Carolina in 2017, I think, was giving up around almost 600 yards per game. They were dead last in points allowed. And BYU's horrific offense in 2017 only mustered up 17 points and lost. Gosh, that was one of the worst losses I've ever seen a BYU team put together. It's up there with 85 UTEP. That's probably still maybe takes the cake. 2017 UMass was up there too a couple weeks later. Revenge opportunity for Kalani and his staff to take down East Carolina. Now, East Carolina's got a bunch of new people. You know, Scotty Montgomery's gone, the head coach. Mike Houston's doing a nice job there. They actually are getting back to respectability. 7 wins last season. Good offense. They were top 30 nationally in total offense. But defensively, they're still an issue. They were in the below average, 80th nationally in total defense. I think BYU wins 40-21. It just seems like those games against AAC teams in Provo, those teams haven't had much success, whether it's Houston, Cincinnati. They've came to Provo, and BYU always wins those games. I think BYU will do the same against the Pirates. At Boise State, this is going to be a good game. Revenge opportunity on the mind for BYU because the Broncos took down BYU last season, 26-17, when BYU was number 10 nationally in the country and undefeated. Boise handed BYU a loss. Hank Bachmeier returns as the quarterback, and Boise returns a bunch of personnel from last season. They're in the top 30 in returning production nationally going into 2022. They lose Khalil Shakir, a wide receiver, but Boise's going to be good once again. I don't know what's the ceiling for Boise State football. Are they a New Year's Six caliber team? I don't think so, but Andy Avalos on the blue turf, I think that'll be a tough game. I mean, the last time BYU played on the blue, it was a crowd of 1,500, and BYU just blitzed that Boise team that was playing, I think, their third game. BYU was on their eighth game. I think BYU wins, though. 28-27. This is going to be a close game. I think it'll be a tightly contested contest that goes down to the wire, probably a late night, November cold up in Boise, last time on the blue turf for the foreseeable future. BYU gets the win. The following week, Utah Tech, BYU rolls. Usually it's about what? It's the same score almost every FCS game, about 50-10. I'm saying BYU 52, Utah Tech 10. The quarterback situation for Utah Tech is kind of interesting. Kenyon Olblad, UNLV transfer, he played last season, stepped in for Cody Willsted, who was a former BYU guy. Willsted was struggling early on. Olblad stepped in. He was once a BYU recruit early on for the Ty Detmer regime. He probably is the starting quarterback maybe this year. We'll see, though. But Utah Tech, it will be kind of curious to see how they perform as an FCS program. They're going to be in the WAC. What's the potential of a program like Utah Tech in the FCS ranks? I'm really curious to see how that program steps up, because I think if you're a young kid here in Utah and your options are FCS programs like Weber, Southern Utah, Utah Tech, I'd want to go to Utah Tech. St. George, great weather all year. That'd be the spot to me. Weber State's got the better infrastructure. They got the better resources. They got the better facilities. But I think Utah Tech's got some potential down the road as an FCS team. At Stanford to close out the season, I think BYU gets another win. It's kind of in that same breath of USC last year, Cal back in 2014, a weird, random, non-conference game amid conference title races, and everyone's wondering, why in the world is this game being played? And that's one of the great things as to why it's going to be awesome that BYU's in the Big 12 the following year. These random games that no one understands outside of the two fan bases, they will be gone. They will be gone. It's great for BYU as an independent to say, hey, you got another game against a P5 to close out the year in November. Because as everyone knows, November scheduling has always been challenging for BYU. This might be one of the better November schedules, honestly, that BYU's ever had. Boise, Utah Tech, and Stanford. It honestly doesn't get much better than that from a November standpoint as an independent. And you're not named Notre Dame. But BYU and Stanford probably won't have anything on the line, especially if I've got a three-loss BYU team rolling into the farm. Stanford's probably going to be better than last year because of all the returning production they have. Fifth in returning production this season. Lavani DeMooney, a former BYU recruit, he's a great player. He's on the Lott Impact Trophy watch list for Stanford. He's one of their top defensive guys. Then Tanner McKee at quarterback. What type of jump does he make in his development? Going to be interesting to see how far the Cardinal improve this year. But I think they're probably, at best, a 7-win football team coming into this game. It could be a spot, too, where they're 5-6 fighting for bowl eligibility, and they got to beat BYU to get the win. So there could be something at stake for a team like Stanford going into this one. But honestly, I think BYU wins. BYU 34, Stanford 28. I think the key with a game like this is, you know, how healthy is BYU going to be? Last year against USC, they were decimated. Against Stanford, how will they fare in terms of personnel and health-wise? So there you have it. I've got BYU going 9-3. I think it's solid. I think that would be that you then go into the postseason with a chance to get a third consecutive 10-win season. And that, to me, is motivation. You know, regardless of what bowl game you go to that ESPN slides you into, that's motivation to get a 10-win season. They've got the chance to beat Arkansas, Notre Dame, Oregon. They can win any of these games. That's been one of the notable things during the independence era, is that from when it first started to now, I think it's gotten to the point where there's not really many games that I look at on a schedule for BYU and say, they're just going to get outclassed. They're just going to get outmatched. I think it's a testament to the program that's been built over the last decade or so. And I think it also speaks to a lot of these Power 5 teams. They're not as deep as they once were. You know, all the resources, all the talent, it feels like it's residing in about four or five programs. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, LSU, I mean, that's about it. Everyone else just seems beatable these days. And it poses a great opportunity for BYU to put together potentially another special season in 2022. You can share your comments right here on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you're watching. How do you think BYU fares? 9-3? 8-4? 6-6, the wheels fall off. The floor to me for BYU, the floor, maybe a worst case scenario, I think is 7-5. And that's where you're saying, you know, maybe Jaron gets hurt and the backup quarterback situation just sends BYU into a tailspin. But I think this schedule, I don't see a scenario where they don't go to a bowl game where they're winning at least six. There's six wins on the schedule. I think the floor is 7-5. I think the best case scenario is 11 wins. So I'll meet in the middle and say 9-3. You can also tweet me your predictions at Mitch_Harper or share them with us at KSL Sports. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I'll be back on Friday talking all the latest in the world of BYU sports. We'll get you an update on some BYU football scheduling news, maybe some kick times. We'll hit on all of that and a whole lot more here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. And it's always powered by KSLSports.com.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.